Guys, and welcome back to the All For God Soul Day of Glory. Today, I am extremely excited for our guest, John Bruni. Hey, Mr. Bruni, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks for allowing me to be on the show.
Awesome. Well, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a pastor. I am a husband, grandpa, a father to two daughters. And I'm also a Guinness World Record holding strong man. So kind of do a lot of different things. I'm also an author and speaker. So you name it, I've probably done it.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. You probably stay pretty busy, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to get started by talking about your work as a pastor. Would you tell us a little bit about the church where you're a pastor at?
Sure. Our church is Zion Missionary Church. It's in Fremont, Indiana. And I have been here 26 years. It's been quite a while that we've been here. One of the unique things about our church is that a lot of the guys or families, when I go out and do a show, a strongman show, they actually travel with me. So that's kind of awesome. We're a tight-knit group. We have an amazing congregation. It's pretty casual in the summer. Like, I preach in shorts. I'm a rock and roll type of guy. So it's not like a more traditional church. One of the other unique things is that our services are on television on the TCT network. So it's been a real great thing. But the thing I love most about our congregation is just the heart that they have for people and how they want to reach people for Christ, the love that they show the community, the acceptance that they have of anyone and everyone. It's just been a real awesome place. I call them my adopted family because my wife's family lives in Iowa and my family lives in Michigan. So it's been fantastic. You know, our daughters grew up here, spent their whole life here, and now my grandsons will hopefully grow up in here too.
Wow, that's awesome. It's like an amazing church to go to and check out. And it just sounds very interesting. Now, that is, what exactly do you have to go through to come up with a new sermon for each Sunday? And I was curious to know, where exactly do you get your inspiration from for your sermons?
Oh, that's a great question. Back in the day, if you could see a picture of my office, I've got a huge library, which has really been toned down over the years due to the internet. We used to have things called commentaries, and I still have sets of commentaries here. But what happens is you basically get a passage of scripture, you pray about what that passage will be, and then I have a lot of different resources on the internet that I go to research stories or illustrations that would connect with people. Because once you've taken the word of God what you want to do is the Bible says that the word became flesh. We know that Jesus came and he became the word. You know, he lived out the word. We got to see him in that living out what the word is. And so in the same way, we want to take Jesus' example and we want to make the word real to people. And so once you have worked on, you know, different translations and topics, then you want to find illustrations or ways that this would connect with people. And that's the most important thing about preaching is it's about connecting with individuals where they are, trying to make the Bible relate, because the Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and encouraging. There's a whole list there in the scripture.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is take that word and make sure that people can understand it and relate to it so that it actually changes their lives. Not that they just hear it, not just be a hearer of the word, but we want them to be a doer of the word also.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that I feel whenever I go to church, I definitely relate a lot more when they have a story or something that I can relate to the story that then relates to the scriptures as well. So that's awesome that you also have those internet things that can help you as well. Now,
let me throw this out to you real quick too, Chloe, is that everybody can get access. One of the things that's great is, you know, on my wall, I've got all kinds of Bibles, But the great thing is you can go on the internet for free and you can look up any translation that you want. So you have access to so much more. There's great libraries on the internet that any believer that wants to grow, they can look up those different translations of the Bible, and they also can look up commentaries on that that will help them grow too. Just want to throw that in there. Didn't want to interrupt, but just want to throw that extra thing in there.
No, yeah, you're good. I mean, you're definitely right. We're definitely blessed to have so many things out there on the internet for us to access that are free, that we can go and we can see different things to bring us closer to the scriptures in that aspect as well. Now, as a pastor, what are some of the biggest struggles or adversities that you face on a day-to-day basis?
Well, probably the toughest thing is you get to embrace a lot of problems. One of the reasons that you go into the ministry is to help people. And so a lot of times I say, as a pastor, I get to see people on their best days and I get to see them on their worst days. Yeah. You know, I see them on their best days when they're getting married or we're celebrating, a graduation or something great event in their life. But I also see them on their worst days when some kind of tragedy has occurred, when there's been a loss of life or a loved one, and you're performing a funeral or just being there to counsel them and help them to see that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and I would assume that would be one of the hardest things is doing that. And when you get to see them at their worst, but you also get to see them at their best. And for you, does that really show you a lot about how much God can help between when you can see how much they can grow from those hard times and grow to have those better times in their lives?
Yeah, because that's the most rewarding part about being a pastor, is getting to watch people at their best, as we say, but being able to succeed, finding and seeing new growth in their lives, looking and seeing how they've matured. And basically, I guess the best way to describe it is to see them become a deeper Christ follower or a disciple of Christ. There's nothing that makes you more happy than see somebody that moves from just being a believer in Jesus to being a disciple of Jesus and following him wholeheartedly in everything that they do, and watching them take on a ministry. I believe that everybody has a dream. God's put a dream in your heart to do some kind of ministry, to serve people, to serve him, and to watch people to step into that dream and to attempt things that they know they could never do on their own, only through God's help. That's a very rewarding thing to witness.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, you've probably seen so many different people go through different things and watch them grow from that. And that's just incredible. That's just amazing. Now, I'm also going to assume you're probably pretty busy because you have a lot of different things that you have to juggle between. So what exactly does a typical weekday look like for you?
A typical weekday is you come to the office, and because, again, we're on television every week, and we also have a podcast too. You've got to have those things planned out right at the beginning of the week. You got to really, seek the Lord to see where do we want to go this week? Where does God want us to go this week? And so that first day of the week is a lot of planning and, starting to gather resources, starting to put things together, touching base with the staff, checking for any appointments or phone calls or emails that may have been missed or needed to be followed up on.
Yeah.
And then I also, because of what I do in the strongman world and the performance side of there, I also have to try and work in about an hour or 2 hours a day of training. And so the days are pretty long. And so it's pretty busy. It's pretty crazy. But really what happens is any day could change on the spur of the moment, depending on the phone call that we get, or what somebody's going through, or whether there's a need. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is planning and then, taking that time out to train. And of course, prayer and spending time with the Lord is the most important thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the days are pretty crazy. If you don't plan your day, the day will plan you. And so you got to really try and be disciplined to stick to a schedule.
Yeah, and you definitely sound extremely busy. And I also want to talk a little bit about your life as like a strong man. Now, have you ever been injured while working out or anything like that? And if so, what are some things that you have done to recover? Because recently, I fractured my ankle at a basketball practice about a month or so ago, and I finally got off the crutches, and the recovery part of it is what I'm starting to get into now. So I'm just curious to know if you have any advice on that.
Yeah, well, I've had a ton of injuries. I've got my arm lit on fire one time for breaking bricks that were set on fire because that's part of one of the stunts that we do in the show. And the fire actually caught on my hand and caught my wrist on fire, and that was kind of a crazy injury. I've shattered my elbows before breaking bricks with my elbows. So I've had some big injuries, but also I've had it's the little things. The last 2 months, one of the things that I had was I had a disc that got put out of place from deadlifting too heavy. And so I had to spend some time doing a lot of rehab with that. And recovery is probably the most important thing that you can do. And I use all kinds of methods for that. I have a website called NeuroPower Source, and that has a lot of the things that I've written about or that I do for recovery. One of the major things I do is using a term called photobiomodulation. Now, that's a huge word that basically means light therapy. And I use red and near infrared light to heal my body at the cellular level. For instance, right now I've got a shoulder that's going through some issues. I will put that red and near infrared light on my shoulder, and it actually will penetrate down into even to the bone structure. And what happens is that begins a cellular process. It also releases nitric oxide and gets blood flow to that area. And that's one of the things that is kind of a nice hack, I call it, to heal injuries even faster. Another thing that I use is muscle stimulation. So I have an electronic muscle stimulator that I can put on injured areas and crank that thing up, and that will stimulate the muscles and again cause them to contract and bring in blood flow. Another great thing that I use when you can't lift heavy, and I still use it in regular workouts too, is something called blood flow restriction bands. And these are bands that you put at the top of your limbs and you inflate them, and it restricts the amount of blood flow going into that area while you're working. And what that does is it tricks the brain, even like if you're using something really lightweight, it tricks the brain into thinking that it's heavy. And it causes this whole hormonal response of healing to happen in your body so that when you release those restriction bands, the blood in your bloodstream is filled with growth hormone and everything else, and it goes back and it heals the injury faster. So, again, a lot of times you can't lift heavy, but or do something when you're using that blood flow restriction, you can kind of do that. Joint mobility is another thing, making sure that you work through your joints in a range of motion. Cryotherapy, doing some icing. So those are just a few of the things. I really try and do a lot of every day some kind of recovery aspect, whether it's photobiomodulation. There's another aspect to that. I actually have a laser that is inserted into the nostril, and that does photobiomodulation to your blood and releases nitric oxide and actually helps the body to oxygenate better. So those are kind of some crazy things, but yeah,
Yeah.
there's a lot you can do.
That's a lot of great things that you have that you use, and that's really, really interesting to me. Now, all that is amazing, but have you ever had, I'm trying to think how to word this. Have you ever had any times when you went through an injury or something and you're just feeling kind of discouraged about getting back to work? And if you have, what is some advice that you have on how to stay motivated throughout that?
Yeah, like I said, I just had this disc in my back situation where it was pushed out of place, and it was the most painful thing that I ever went through. And I had a hard time even getting up out of a chair. I forced myself to walk, but every step walking, it was nerve pain like I could not can't even explain. It was excruciating. And so when you're used to doing all these things, used to lifting heavy weights and pulling heavy things and doing crazy stunts, and you can't do anything, that's real tough. And so a couple things that you've got to do is, one, it was a great time for a gut check and to realize that my identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not in what I can do physically. And that was a big help. Two, I had to focus on what I could do and realize that, you know, by faith, that injury was eventually going to heal. And like I said, it took 2 months, which is a long time. And you got to get to that point where you stay focused and believe that it's going to heal. Because the discouragement, when you're discouraged and saying, oh, this is never going to happen, or oh, this is taking forever, that's just setting your body back, and setting you back mentally and spiritually. So every day I started to do things that I could do. So as I got better, I all of a sudden could, you know, started to be able to walk for distances. Then I was able to, you know, do some things with the upper body. I just started adding things on every day until the central nervous system kind of took over, and did a lot of stretching, things that, you know, were kind of boring, but things that were, you know, essential to my healing. That's kind of where it's at, is that you've got to just keep with the program, trust that you're going to get healed, and stick with it, you know. So discouragement is so hard, because a lot of athletes, their identity is tied to what they can do. But the Bible tells us that our identity should be tied to who we are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So sometimes an injury can be a good thing, even just to refocus us spiritually and say, hey, if I could never do this again, my identity is still in Christ Jesus. I'm still a person of value. And so those are some important things to remember.
Yes, and that's definitely some great advice. And that's what I've been feeling a lot throughout my injury, is I can have a lot more time instead of being focused so much on my workouts and lifting and getting stronger and stuff for basketball. I also have a lot more time now to focus on God and do things like that that I didn't make the time for that I should have before. So that's definitely a great point you made there. Now, a major thing that has impacted people all over the world recently is COVID. As a trainer and as a pastor and as a strongman, how did COVID impact you in all those different aspects? And what did you do then to continue to keep going and motivated?
Well, COVID was kind of crazy in the fact that, you know, we had to be separated from people, which was crazy because God designed us to be in relationship. And one of the things that I was thankful for during COVID is that we already had a television ministry, so people could still feel somewhat connected. But one of the things that we transitioned to when they were shutting the churches down is we switched to something called drive-in church. So if you've ever been to an old drive-in movie, you know, like there's an FM station that you tune in your car so that you can hear what's going on in the movie.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we built a stage outside on a trailer, and we had everybody for quite a few weeks, would drive in on Sunday mornings and tune their car in, and we would have worship outside. We had drive-in church, and instead of being able to shout amen, people would honk their horns. It was an awesome way to say that, you know what, we may feel down, but we're not out, you know.
Yeah.
You can't stop the church.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was discouraging, you know, because so many people, this whole separation aspect, people, you know, friends being hospitalized and knowing people that went through COVID, it was very discouraging. But that's in the midst of that, we remembered that, again, God's always promised to bring us out. You know, we got to trust in the promises of God and focus on the good and what God can do during COVID.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things about strongman shows, it was kind of sad we had to cancel a lot of those performances. So that kind of set us back a little bit there. Now, the big thing is I train at my house. I have a big basement dungeon, you know, with over 1,000 pounds of weights down there, and kettlebells and club bells, all kinds of interesting machines. So as far as the training aspect, it didn't set me back, you know, very, very far. It was more about the performance aspect that it set us back. But the biggest challenge of COVID was being able to make sure that people could connect with each other and still feel in relationship.
Yeah, and that was actually, I've never heard of any of other churches doing that drive-in thing with the church. That's a really good idea. That's very fascinating to me. I think that's a great solution to that, to bring people together a lot more. And I just think that's a really great idea. Now, I want to switch gears up a little bit to a few questions directed towards our teenage audience. Now, my first question is, what would you say is, in your opinion, is one of the biggest things that teenagers struggle with today? And what can they do to fight against this struggle?
I think the biggest struggle is feeling accepted and feeling value and self-worth. And all you have to do is look at social media, and that will answer that question right there to what's going on in people's lives as far as the biggest need. People kind of live their life by the like button.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many likes I get on the gram, or, you know, that most teenagers are on Instagram, but whatever social media platform you choose, that's a glaring issue that shows that, you know, a lot of people find their self-worth from other people, and they really struggle with the value of who they are. And so, you know, again, I'm not against social media. I think social media can be an awesome tool. That's the way we get our podcasts out and all these different, you know, avenues of communication. But I think that is the number one thing that teens struggle with, is their value, and they have to learn to know who they are in Jesus Christ, that I am a child of God, you know, and all the promises that the Bible says that we are significant and we are secure in Him, and that we are God's friend, and that relationship with God, you know, that's the biggest issue, is people finding their value in relationship with God versus their value in relationship with what other people think. And it's devastating. I've seen so many tragic situations that I won't get into here, but mostly they were all based on self-worth. People struggle with being accepted.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You're breaking up, so if you could repeat that, it went silent there.
It's really sad in that way that so many people are going through that problem of being harassed, or whatever you want to call it, through. And that's something that really hurt me, because I a lot with a lot of my friends. And that kind of goes into my next question, and that is, how do you deal with friend, like, if you could relate this to the teenage audiences, what would be your advice? You got super close with, and you got to know them super well, and then something happens and you feel like you can't tell them anything anymore.
Can you repeat that? You're breaking up. Can you still hear me?
Hello?
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, can you repeat that? I heard just the beginning about friends, and then it went silent.
Yes. So my question is, do you have any advice that you're listening about how to deal with people that you with? Make them start to call you names and just try to spread nasty rumors about you, and you just feel like you can't do anything. But I just want to know what you think your advice on that is, because that's happened to me a lot throughout this year, and it's happened to a lot of my friends as well. And I just want to know what your advice.
Well, a couple things. The first one is this, is that, you know, the Bible was very clear, and Jesus was very clear, that we have to forgive people no matter what.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is freely given, but trust is something that has to be earned. And when people break trust, in order for you to trust them again, they have to earn that trust. They have to rebuild those bridges that were once broken. The important thing is when somebody spreads something nasty about you, you can't go down to their level and all of a sudden get sucked into what they're trying to do, or, you know, going low like that. And that's a big temptation. It's like, you know, you do this, I'm going to do this back and retaliate. And what's really interesting is that if you study the scripture, people said a lot of nasty stuff about Jesus, and he never had to defend himself. He just was who he was. And so I would say those are the major things, is that, you know, you have to forgive those people, but they have to earn trust back. And, you know, you don't, you just, trust is earned. But then in the end, you know, you don't want to get caught up in this vicious cycle of, all right, well, I'm going to tell what I know about you. And because, again, that's destroying you. You know, unforgiveness destroys you. It doesn't destroy the other person.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely really good advice. And something I'm going to try to go by. And that's what throughout this school year is, you know, forgiving. It is definitely difficult to do that. And I'm, of course, not always completely innocent. I'm sure there's things that I've done as well that I shouldn't have done or said. But I just think that's really good advice to forgive, but remember that that trust still has to be earned back. Now, something else that I'm curious about is, what is something that you wish you knew when you were our age as a teenager that you know now?
Where would I start? That would be a pretty long list. The biggest thing I would say is that these are such formative years, and you can't really see the future at that time. If you knew the things that you think make people cool in high school are not cool later, and that, you know, I would focus more on eternal things and not trying to find value in other people's opinions.
Yeah.
It's so important that, you know, you got your whole life ahead of you. And again, it's going to be funny because some of the people that and things that you think are popular now won't be later. You know, it your whole life is ahead. And so the biggest thing is that this is just a period of time. It's very formative, but it's important to understand this. If I could go back and tell myself one thing, it would be the decisions that you're making right now will totally affect your future.
Yes.
So
I agree.
You need wisdom. And so again, we make sometimes bad decisions because we can't see the future. You know, we're in high school, we're kind of, you know, when it comes to junior high and high school, we kind of have tunnel vision and we can't see beyond those years.
Mm-hmm.
That those decisions that you make will affect the rest of your life.
Yeah, I agree. That's really good advice. And I just have to know one more thing to get some advice on before we move into our next segment. And that is, what would you say is your advice on how to live all for God?
How to live all for God. The biggest thing is to always, you know, check your motives. I say this a lot to people. You can live a life of manipulating people or ministering people. And when you're all out for God, you check your motives. You say, am I doing this for Christ or am I doing this for my benefit?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is it's a motive check. And why do we do what we do is one of the greatest questions you can ask yourself. And so being sold out to Jesus for me a lot of times is just checking the motives. And, you know, when you do that and you want to constantly grow and say, you know, did I live out God's dream for my life today to the best of my ability and the most with the Holy Spirit's empowerment in my life? But motives would be one of the biggest ways we can check that.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100% on that. Now, I'm super excited because we're about to move into our next segment, which is Bible, Would You Rather? Now, if this is your first time listening, it's pretty much exactly the same as Would You Rather. You're given two options, and they're Bible-based, so you're put in a situation that occurs in the Bible, and you pick one of those situations, and you explain a little bit about why you pick that situation. If that makes sense. Now, the first one is, would you rather be cooped up in an ark for 377 days, or would you have to lay on your side for 390 days?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I would say I'd be cooped up in the ark because at least you can move around and there's a whole lot of jobs on the ark. You know, we think about being cooped up on the ark, but it was pretty busy. There's a lot of animals to take care of and a lot going on. But that would be the biggest thing for me, that at least you can move in the ark, even though you can't get outside. That would be mine.
I agree. That's why I picked that one exactly. Now, our next one is, would you rather be forced to marry a monarch and live in that castle for the rest of your life, or would you rather have to wander the desert for 40 years?
Ooh, well, you know, I don't like wandering that much, but the desert would have been an adventure. So if I had to choose between those two, I probably would wander the desert a little bit, that venture of daily relying on God and seeing God's provision every day. Those are two really tough ones. I probably wouldn't like either, but if I had to choose, I'd probably like the desert trek.
I agree with that one as well. Now, our final one is, would you rather have to have lived through a famine or the 10 plagues of Egypt?
I'm thinking, that's a tough one too. I'm thinking 10 plagues of Egypt only because there was a limited time. Like, you know, each plague is going to end, and the fact that God's people were protected during the plagues. So I'd probably go with plagues.
I agree, because God's people were protected throughout that. So I think that's why I would have to pick that one as well. Now, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today, Mr. Bruni. It has been awesome. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys want to message me with the name of someone you think would make a great guest, you can email me at afgsdgpodcast@gmail.com or follow me at All for God, Soul Deo Gloria podcast, and leave me a message there. Make sure you guys all tell your friends and family about the podcast. It is now available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and more. Thank you guys so much for listening, and remember, in all you do, do it all for God's glory.